Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Welcome in to Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for the first time in 2025, this season at least. The Houston Texans are above 500 after taking down the Buffalo Bills last night. Joe George, Will Kunkel, Brian McDonald taping away his headphones back in the studio, I could see on the camera there. What's up, Kunkel? How you doing, man?
Bro, we are over 500. We played a full football game yesterday against a good team. We got something to talk about and not be so negative.
I know. Joe, I just heard two we's in the opening sentence from Will.
Oh, man. Was...
I don't mean we as in the Texans. I mean we as in like our Houston family here.
I don't
get
know.
To join
it
together.
It's a little questionable.
It's certainly
you know
not
what?
Like my headphones, as Joe pointed out.
for
there's
today?
There's no reason to point that out. Thanks, Joe.
I looked up on the camera. I looked up on the YouTube. It was the first thing I saw is you were taping your headphones.
Yeah, it fell apart.
As that sack montage was happening.
Fell apart like the Bills' offensive line. How about that for transition?
There we go.
Eight sacks, 12 quarterback hits, 11 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, a fumble force, a fumble recovery. We're going to talk about all the good stuff because it's a Friday. And we'll see how much reaction we do on Monday. We'll also get to don't ignore in victory and what you wouldn't in defeat today at 4 o'clock. So we'll talk about the bad stuff today. We'll have some fun. We'll do some food debates. We'll talk about the Astros. We'll talk about the playoff hopes being alive. There's a lot to get to, Will, on the show today. But I just want to start here with just, I mean, you're there last night. As you're watching this thing unfold, it is an elite performance that is something like we've talked a lot this year on Swarmcast about how good this defense was. But last night on primetime, the Texans showed they have the best defense in the NFL. They are doing things that are just remarkable. And the way they dominated Josh Allen last night was so impressive, getting to him constantly. You know, that first sack that Will Anderson had and the way that Al Michaels phrases it as he finally gets to Josh Allen. But it was only a handful of plays before that he chased Josh Allen down from behind and it looked like Josh Allen had died on the field, but was fine. What was it like last night there in person watching this game unfold and what you saw from the defense?
I mean, and so I want to like double down on this defense just a little bit because they might be historically good. Because every single rule change that we have seen in the NFL over the last decade has been all about protecting the quarterback, letting wide receivers run free, all about getting points. And this defense is doing what they're doing in this face of all of that. Like every great defense in the past has been allowed to be a very physical defense over the middle, hitting the quarterback. The quarterback's got to get up. Like what this Houston defense is doing is super impressive. And also, shout out to the city of Houston last night. There might be slow times getting into the game on a Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for a noon kickoff. But I'll tell you what, for a primetime Thursday night game, this city knows how to party. They know how to get down. It was a great crowd, great atmosphere. There were some Bills fans, as to be expected, but not like that 49ers game on Sunday morning that one week. So this last night was a blast. This defense is badass. And finally, the offense was good enough. There is a lot of stuff that we can really break down and we can parse through. But the offensive line was fantastic in protecting Davis Mills. Trent Brown allowed 0 pressures across 21 matchups with Joey Bosa. That's a really good pass rusher. And he's the first pass blocker to allow 0 pressures to Bosa with at least 15 matchups in a game since 2018. So there was a lot of good on the offensive side, as much as there was some left to be desired. But overall, Joe, like, what a game, what a performance, and what a showing on national television.
Yeah, I'm very jealous. I was supposed to go to the game last night. I've been on the injury reserve for the last 2 days. I've been dying on the inside is the way it's felt the last 2 days. So I didn't get to go to the game. So I was watching unfold, and I had so much FOMO last night. And I don't feel like I felt that very often watching Texans games on television. And it's funny to see, like, we all know what the fan base is like, but they were loud last night. It helped out a lot for sure. I think that made life more difficult. But Just let's talk about Will Anderson here first, because there's so many good things to go through on this defense. But I want to start with Will Anderson. I mean, Will, we've also talked a lot on Swarmcast about just how he can elevate his game to a different level than we've seen in the past. And we knew he was good. But what we saw last night was like that defensive player of the year kind of performance. And I'm not sure he'll win it this year because of what we're seeing guys like Myles Garrett, the year he's having. But Will Anderson felt like on the national stage showed that why this offseason he is going to be one of the highest paid defensive players in the NFL. Just the game-wrecking ability he had. He nearly went full J.J. Watt at the end of the game and intercepted that ball. I thought he had it, honestly. I cannot say enough good things about his performance and Danielle Hunter, and really all of them, but Anderson just shined last night, Will, in a way that I still feel like was another level to what we've seen before.
And he did it, like you said, on the national stage, which is necessary for a team like Houston because they're not always in the national spotlight. They don't get that love. And the national pundits don't watch every game as much as they claim to and as much as they want to pontificate about teams. They're usually like a month or two behind all of us because we watch every single game. We watch every snap. We're at practices. We talk to them every day. And so to see Will Anderson Jr. go off for 9 pressures, 2.5 sacks, and 6 of those pressures coming against a pretty good right tackle of the Bills, he put on a show. And this is why you couldn't get rid of Danielle Hunter. This team wasn't that far away from trying to, like, to have these type of wins to put yourself in the conversation to be in the playoffs. The offense is still a work in progress. But when you have a defense like this, this is what I said yesterday when you were out. I said that this was a great matchup for the Texans because the Bills are not very good defensively. They're especially not very good up front defensively. And their strength is offense. But the Texans' strength is better on defense. So this just really matched up. And I truly believe the Texans are a team that when the matchup is right can beat really good teams. Now they're going to struggle against a team like the Rams because they have a formidable front, or the Titans or Jaguars, teams like that, even though they're not very good because their strength is the Texans' weakness. But a team like the Bills, they're a good team overall, at least, you know, record-wise, even though they've lost, I believe, 3 of their last 4. They're a team that you can beat, and they embarrassed.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans own Josh Allen. They own the Buffalo Bills, frankly. I think they've won their last 6 games against the Bills and their last 3 now, or 4 against Josh Allen, going back to that playoff game when J.J. Watt came back with a big-time injury and made a huge impact in that playoff game. They last night, I mean, the conversation, I think, has changed now, and I don't want to skip too far ahead, but, like, last night's game definitely changes to me the narrative and the conversation around the Houston Texans season. I think it is we have to reevaluate the expectations for this team, the fact that they went 3-0 with Davis Mills, that you get C.J. Stroud back on next Sunday, most likely, versus the Indianapolis Colts. So you get your quarterback back, and you need him because we'll discuss the bad stuff we saw from Davis Mills in the first and second half. But the Texans have, like, they've put juice back in their season now. This is a team now where you look at the playoff push, it's there. They should be a playoff team, it feels like, again. I don't know. Maybe should's too strong of a word, but this defense is good enough. It's good enough to carry him.
The defense is certainly good enough to, like, be alive in every game no matter who they're playing. And then if they get to the playoffs, then they certainly have a chance to win every game because of the defense. But I do want to just – I want to be cautious of the fact that, like, this was a statement game. Everybody watch out. Here come the Texans. And I only say that because – Yes. The defense was awesome, okay? They were lights out, and they are elite. But this was a short week for both teams. It was at home in Houston, and that's where they are at their best. And it was a friendly matchup with the Bills from a standpoint of on paper. This is where I get very nervous of how the season started, because that was when you're going to lose those 2 home games in the playoffs that you should have had. And this is a very different team at home than it is on the road. You don't have that extra, you know, half a second of a jump start on the defensive line as you do at NRG as you would on the road. Like you're not going to have that on the road, I should say. So that's where I'm like, hey, this was like us when the Texans are going to Kansas City, Joe, on that Sunday night game. That's like you're running into a hornet's nest, man. Like, what a bad time to play it. It's kind of the same situation versus a noon game on Sunday when you're getting a lot of Bills fans. It's not that same energy. The defense doesn't come out with that same type of energy as well. Like, that's what I just want to pump my brakes with and say, all right, hell of a win, measuring stick win, yes. I don't know what it says overall, though.
No, I get where you're coming from, but still, I know it's a short week, but you have a quarterback who is a backup, deservingly so.
Yeah, I'm not
taking anything
away. I just,
for
you
sure.
You know what I'm saying? I just want to be like,
no, I agree.
I just want to protect my heart a little bit, you know?
No, I understand that because it's like, could there be a letdown performance coming up on the 30th when they play the Colts? Yeah, absolutely. But you know, you've got this extra time where it's like the inverse of what you said, where you get a short week to prepare for the Bills, Josh Allen coming off 6 touchdowns. Now you've got, 9 days to get ready for the Indianapolis Colts and C.J. Stroud's return. And that, to me, is like, that's where this season really can change. But just what's happened in front of you in the AFC, where, Baltimore and the Chiefs are both 5-5. You were 5-5. You've now reached a 6-5. Daniel Jones has had 7 turnovers in his last 2 games. The Chargers just got stomped by the Jags. The Jags just collapsed versus you. The AFC, to me, the way it's unfolding, feels more open now for those last couple wild card spots. And it just feels like the race to the end. And to your point, the Texans, the way they played at the beginning of the season versus the way they're playing now with this defense and the offense doing just enough to win these games, they've left the margin of error very, very small. But for last night, it was a dominant performance. And this defense, man, I can't say enough good things from how good they are. It's one thing to dominate, Cam Ward, but to do that, and I know Jeremy's not here to celebrate today, his Josh Allen will never win a Super Bowl take. Last night's why he has that take, I think, of why. Because the Texans defense just made him look like a clown most of that game.
You want to have more FOMO, by the way? You said you had some FOMO and you weren't able to go. I had a buddy in town and I got to go as a fan to the Texans game for the first time since being in Houston as a fan. And it was juice. Like, it was so much fun being able to hang out, cheer, yell, and enjoy the game. I kind of take in the game a little bit more that way versus having my computer in front of me and like so distracted with like so much stuff going on and staring at the stats all the time. Which, by the way, who's ever running NRG Texans, you got to put up player stats on the scoreboard. I don't know if that's NFL mandated right now with the whole props thing, but at no point do you ever see any stats from the players. So when you're looking at 63.5 over rushing yards for Woody Marks, you're pretty curious come the third quarter, by the way. So just my 2 cents going into the game. But just to give you a little bit more FOMO, it was so much fun, dude.
Yeah, it was bumping last night. Yeah, and the Wi-Fi's not great there, or just the non-Wi-Fi usage is not
to
great
the,
there. So
media Wi-Fi thing.
That's good call. Good call.
Cheater,
I'm about to get that from you before I go to the next one. All right,
got you.
We'll get your guys' reaction here, 713-780-3776 on the HRMP listener line, the text line on this Texans victory Friday as they are back above 500. Let's continue to talk about the defense. There's still a lot of guys we have not even touched on in the secondary who were phenomenal in this game. We'll hit on all of that next here on Jeremy and Joe with Joe and Will here on a Friday. Coming up next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Affordability right now is the biggest problem in today's car market. New vehicles are averaging nearly $48,000, and most people's wages, they just haven't kept up. That's why some people are stuck with these 7-year loans just to make it work. You get this negative equity. You're not happy with your car, but you can't do anything about it. And that's where D&M Leasing, they come in to save the day. They solve that problem with the Easy Lease, offering lower monthly payments, no money down, in terms that make sense. Don't overpay. Solve the payment problem. Look, it is November 21st. Now's the right time to do this. No payments until 2026. You want to remember that, because all you got to do is go to dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000. You will work with one of their leasing agents. You're going to work with one person. You're going to get that white glove service. They're going to take care of you. And when it's time, they will get you your car either to your house, to your office. And look, hey, you'll surprise someone for a little holiday gift. If you're feeling bold this Christmas season, you can get it there for you for Christmas or whenever you want it done. Check them out right now, dmautoleasing.com, or call 713-290-1000 and tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you by.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe George, Will Kunkel here with you on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Kalen Bullock, a monster game last night, Will Kunkel. I mean, this guy, Will, what a night he had. I mean, even at two pass deflections, I feel like are getting ignored in this one, but he's all over the place, Will. What a game changer he was in this game. We talked so much about in that first segment about the pressure they were getting on Josh Allen, but to get the amount of turnovers, get three turnovers in that game was such an elite performance from him. And there's times where I feel like his tackling's not the best. But for last night, Will, he was a dominant player for the Houston Texans and really changed this game by himself in a lot of ways.
I don't think he loves contact, but, you know, sometimes he tackles well enough. And you and I believe one of us or both of us said on the Swarmcast entering the year that we thought Kalen Bullock was going to have about five interceptions off tip balls this year. Because we thought Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter were going to be all over their wide receiver, and that was going to give opportunities where they'd pass deflect the ball, and bingo, bango, bongo, there's Kalen Bullock running with the ball the other way. And that's exactly what happened last night, but it was Azeez Al-Shaair. And if you look at that film, it was a really bad decision and bad throw by Josh Allen. And then afterwards, talking to Azeez, he was pissed off because it's the second year in a row that Josh Allen's throwing the ball, and he didn't catch it. But Kalen, like, that stuff isn't lucky. That stuff is film study. That stuff is discipline, being in the right spot at the right time. People that say it's lucky, it's you create your own luck, particularly in the NFL, because you are where you're supposed to be when you're there and you do what you're supposed to do. And for him to get that strip sack, I thought that was not strip sack, but the strip off the catch was a huge play. But that also leads us to the next conversation I'm sure we'll have eventually, that you get two turnovers in Bills territory and at least suggest 6 points. That's the type of stuff where you're like, ah, man, that's why these games are closer than they really should be.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. Like, that's where the offense has to be better. Like, we saw last night the great of the Texans, but then the flaws of the Texans in this game play out so clearly of just, like, getting those turnovers in Bills territory, not being able to convert for touchdowns, struggling in the red zone. But the defense just carried their weight in such a phenomenal way. I mean, the Bills were afraid to throw it towards Derek Stingley Jr. I think he only had two targets on the day and it didn't have any completions. He hasn't allowed a completion. I think it's in his last four games I saw DJ Bieniemy tweet. So teams are clearly afraid to throw at him, and when they do, it's a problem. That's where Kalen can take advantage of it. But yeah, the offense just didn't do – I mean, it did enough last night. Like, I think when we first started working together, like, the first thing you ever said, I think, to me, when we talked about the offense with Will, was just suck less. And – I don't think they've really achieved that, to be honest. Like, I don't think last night either is an exception to the just suck less than you did last year. But last night they did just enough, specifically in the first half, to win this game for the team. And the defense really carried them, but the offense was okay in last night's game, maybe.
Yeah, I think the offense maybe sucked less, but I think they were also in position that if they didn't suck less, they just sucked. They had short fields a lot because of that defense. And they were put in position to have success often. And there were Bills penalties that kept drives alive. And I don't want to sit here and harp on some of the negatives of this offense yet until we do some other segments specifically for that. But they did have some success in the red zone for the first time. They were able to convert in the red zone for the first time, or a couple times. I believe they went 2 for 3 in the red zone last night. So they were good enough at points. And that's what you're asking for from this offense, especially with a backup quarterback. Once CJ's in there now, though, the goal isn't to not lose the game. The goal is to go out there and be able to win some games as CJ Stroud is your starting quarterback. Not Davis Mills. Just take care of the ball. Don't lose us the game is the goal as the backup.
Yeah, I agree. I think now that you're above 500 and you've done what you've done over the last three games, and two of them, I guess one of them only a inferior opponent since both the Bills and the Jags are playoff teams at the moment, like, the expectations have to rise up again for this offense going forward with C.J. Stroud returning. We saw him all, I mean, they couldn't stop showing him on the broadcast last night. You know, like, now when he comes back, like, you have to play better. You can't have two drops from Cade Stover. You have to have better, you know, completion percentage from your quarterback and just better execution from this offense. And we'll dive more into some of the red zone stuff that, you know, especially the really bad stuff later in the show. Anyone else from the defense that really stood out from you in last night's game, or Brian, if you want to jump in here? I mean, Tim Settle had a good game as well. I forgot how to pronounce this guy's name. I'm going to butcher it.
Tommy. Togai.
Togia?
Yeah.
I think it is. Togai? I don't
know.
He's
Togai.
Awesome.
Togai? I think, yeah. I heard it in my head and then I couldn't say it.
I was doing the same thing.
The Derek Stingley stat,
I know it's
by
not
the way.
Togai, but
whatever it is, Tommy's good. Tommy be good.
Tommy good.
Tommy likey. Derek Stingley Jr. was targeted only twice last night. He allowed zero catches in 43 coverage snaps. And that's the fourth game this season where he's allowed fewer than 10 yards in coverage. I mean, Patrick Surtain, who was a defensive player of the year, did that in five games all last season. That's how good, and that's how, like, that's when you say you want to build a team from inside out, front to back. That's what we're talking about. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., Kamar Lassiter, and then Derek Stingley. Like, that's why they got to figure out this offensive line. It's the same concept on the other side of the ball. You got to win the game up front. And those four guys last night were absolutely fantastic again.
And obviously, yeah, they were, sorry, Joe. Obviously, you can't separate the two because obviously they go hand in hand. They get great pressure. You don't have to cover as long. Mm-hmm. But think about that advantage that Derek Stingley, as you just pointed out, Will, with only two targets his way, zero completions. You're basically telling an offense who's already struggling to protect their quarterback from your relentless pass rush that you can't throw to one half of the field. Yeah.
Maybe two halves.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about Revis Island back in the day, how it basically turned the game into a half, you know, half a field. It really limited what the offense can do. You face that pass rush when it's loud in the stadium and you can only throw to half of the field. I mean, no wonder the MVP struggled.
I mean, it's great. Yeah, because your read is already cut in half. And then if you go to Kamar Lassiter, like, he's locking down too.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, he got broke off on one route hard last night early in the game, but those two guys were so good. And you know what, for a linebacking core that's had some struggles and has allowed some plays, I thought they played really, really well last night. They tackled well, they were in position, and I thought defense played front to back, inside to out, the best they've played all season long. And I don't think anyone really had a bad game. How about the rookie Jalen?
I was just gonna mention him, dude,
his communication I thought was on point last night. And he didn't get beat. He didn't give up big plays.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Reed, this is where the Nick Caserio conversation that we've all been having this year,
it's so hard.
It's the negative with the offensive line, but like, you find a guy in the sixth round, pick 187 out of Penn State this year, a school that historically like has had some good defensive backs, but has never had a first rounder. So like, they're always later round picks. You find Jalen Reed in the sixth round. He comes up last night, 12 tackles total, 9 of them solo, the fumble recovery. I barely even know who this guy is, Will, and he's out there making big-time plays, and they've needed it. Like, I not to harp on D'Amico today too much, but like, this is why like I scoffed at D'Amico when he scoffed at the stepping up question 2 weeks ago when C.J. Stroud got hurt. Like, this is what stepping up looks like. Jalen Reed, a no-name player that people are not familiar with. You know, even the biggest Texans fans are not really familiar with Jalen Reed, and he played great last night. And we'll see if it's sustainable, but what an impressive performance in his first game, really, as a player for the Texans this year.
And he got hurt in training camp. So for him to be able to, you know, grasp this defense while not being out there when you're learning all of it, and, you know, shout out to him for staying in there and becoming a real contributor. I thought he just played his tail off, and the defense for everybody they plug in. We see this every year. I always pointed out the game last year in Green Bay. Five starters down, they go out and have maybe their best performance of the season, and the offense was so bad that they lose that game on a game-losing field goal on the last second. That's what D'Amico Ryans does. And I don't know if we have enough time in this segment, but I want to. Like, there was a play last night that I thought was the biggest play of the game, arguably. And it was the timeout that D'Amico called after that hook and ladder. And I talked to every guy in the locker room, Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, Azeez Al-Shaair, Henry To'oto, and I asked them, like, that play. Like, no one really talks about timeouts in the locker room afterwards and how big it was in the course of a season. They all said that timeout was from a head coach that had played linebacker in the NFL before, and it was so necessary for them to be able to catch their breath and be able to regroup after giving up a 4th-and-27 on a hook and ladder to reset their minds, come out. They give up 9 yards after that timeout and then forced the interception to win the game. So shout out to D'Amico, because it wasn't a timing situation. It wasn't a moment where it was like an obvious timeout call, but it was to a guy that had played the game before. And that truly, I believe, saved the game for the Texans.
Yeah, I think that's a great call, Will. Just to have like the – you have to call the timeout there just to regroup, because what a disaster that play was. And we'll talk about more when we talk about the don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. But that's a Texans loss in previous regimes. Like that's where I know we have this discussion about culture.
You always come in here with these down questions.
Things of like what is and what is not culture. But like that to me is like that it defines a coach's culture is last night's game. It's just the ability to not collapse on yourself in that moment. And maybe this comes from being scarred in the teams that I follow and root for on a weekly basis, but that includes the Texans of just having these epic collapses. But to allow that play and to not lose that football game against a guy who's won the MVP, who could have saved the day in the moment, I didn't think they were going to win the game at all. Like I don't really follow the, you know, the percentage wins, but like if you look at the graph, it's very funny last night because it's just going down towards the Texans, and then there's this huge spike to the Buffalo Bills after that play, and then it plummets again for the Houston Texans on the next five plays as they get the interception before Davis Mills comes out and kneels the ball. Speaking of Davis Mills, let's discuss this offense. What we saw from it, the good from last night. Again, you guys are welcome in 713-780-3776. An interesting question here on the text line from CJ about CJ Stroud. We'll get to all of that next year. Joe George, Will Kunkel on Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Way to show out. Way to show the world what the Houston Texans football is all about.
Yeah. Hey, love you boys, man. Love you guys. Way to work, man. Now, you get it free. Get time to rest a little bit. I see you guys on Monday. Yeah. One time, boys, baby. Texans!
It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Swarm! Swarm, Will. Swarm for me, Will. Come on.
Texas.
One time.
Swarm! Texas. Swarm!
I got one request before we get to some big news here, okay? We got to get to the point where, like, we don't have to coach the fans. That's the next step. Don't have to coach the fans,
you know,
in the Texans
swarm.
We
are from that, dude. You
know, I know, but like, can we just get to it? Of just like on third down, there's a Texans in a swarm. One half of the stadium takes Texans. One half of the stadium takes swarm. But Brian, we got breaking news. Let's hit it. Breaking news from last night's game. Big news here, Will. Okay, you ready for it?
I feel like this is going to be the dumbest thing ever right now.
It's not. It's big news. Big injury in last night's game. We got to talk about it. Referee Adrian Hill, who left Thursday night's game, is believed to have avoided a major injury, and his Achilles is intact. Sources close to Hill tell the insiders, Tom Pelissero, an accomplished aerospace engineer and NFL official since 2010. Hill may miss some time, but a return this season has not been ruled out. So, Adrian Hill,
I
got
to change my lineup now.
I know. Got to change that, especially for the Chiefs, man. You got to make sure that Adrian Hill was a bookmark.
Is that one of the Chiefs' boyfriends or what?
Brian and I were talking about during the break. I've never seen that before, a referee getting hurt in that way. Glad he's okay, and he'll ref again this season. It's very funny how Tom Pelissero writes that tweet like it's about a player.
Do you think he cried inside while he had to write a tweet about a referee injury?
It feels like he kind of enjoyed it a little bit.
He loved it.
Yeah, it feels like it's like he knew what he was doing when he wrote that tweet of just being like, hey, this guy's okay, I promise. But we saw that was something that's not usual. The backup ref who stepped in for his place, he really took advantage of his moment in the spotlight and showed why he deserves a white hat in the future when he called the offensive pass interference, because he got me good, Will. I was convinced that was defensive pass interference. Had no idea what happened.
I think everybody was. You could see D'Amico like holding his breath. Like D'Amico was ready to freak out. And then you just saw the sigh of relief when he went offense. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a big sigh of relief.
I think Dalton immediately like kind of hurt or somebody hurt. No, that was a different play. But there was a couple ones where if you watch the refs, they like kind of give it away right away. But that was definitely a breath holding type of moment. You're like, there's no way, right? Like, there's no way we're gonna go four more plays. They're gonna score and we're gonna overtime and it's gonna be one in the freaking morning.
Yeah, it was going to be a long night last night.
Thankfully, it wouldn't have mattered anyway because of the offensive pass interference. But Josh Allen missed a wide open.
Oh yeah,
Knox. Like he was running right to left on like a drag route, was wide open. I'm not sure why he forced the ball to where he forced it.
On which play?
Yeah, that was
the interception play at the end of the game when Bullock intercepted the pass. Knox was kind of to the left of that, just wide open.
I think
would have been easily scored, but obviously would have been wiped out by the penalty.
I think it's fair to say Josh was a little sped up last
night. He was.
I don't think he was going through his progressions at the same rate he would like
to. No, he had a Johnny Manziel run around at one point. That play where he lost 18 yards.
Yeah, Will Anderson ran like 50-some-on yards, the longest length that someone's ran for a sack, tops of NFL history.
Yeah, Will Anderson got a hand on him like right off the snap, but he missed it, got up, was like, oh, wait, I still got a chance at this, and they're in round for 50 yards before he finally dragged him down.
Yeah, it was a shocking game to see Josh Allen. Like, they beat him last year, but the way that they just like were punishing him, I mean, his wrist is clearly hurt. Like, he did hurt it on that first one. He was holding it at the end of the game again. But the defense did its job, and they were excellent all night last night. A couple texts here as we start to talk about the offense here, Will. Let's see, 0783, they still aren't scoring in the red zone. They are struggling for real. Yep, it's not great there. 3805 asked this question, though. What happens if Stroud comes back and they start losing again, Will? I'm curious. You know, I think it's pretty simple that it doesn't matter. You know, if they start losing again, even if it were to be Stroud's fault, let's say, I think is they were good enough last night, but Davis Mills, you know, what, 1-for-8 to start the game, I think it was not very good. They only had 30 yards of offense in the second half. The offense wasn't spectacular in last night's game. So if C.J. Stroud were to come back and they were to start losing again, I think it's totally irrelevant, honestly, to the conversation because Davis Mills was good enough but not great by any means.
Okay, not every win is equal. Okay, not all of it is the same. I understand when you're just trying to get wins, a win is a win is a win. I agree. But for the first time in Davis Mills' career, he has 3 straight wins. So he's not a world beater. He didn't light it up. He had big games. He did what he needed to do against the Jaguars, the Titans, and the Bills in an absolute hornet's nest on Thursday Night Football. CJ's coming back. He's your starting quarterback. He is your best quarterback. You win games because of CJ Stroud going out there, and he has a capability of doing that. Do not get it twisted. He's also coming back to face the Colts, and then he's going to also have to go on the road to Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs. So just because you lose those games is not because you go from Davis Mills to CJ Stroud. Be honest about it. Be intellectually honest when you watch the games, if they lose, as to why they lose. Is it because Davis Mills was lighting it up and now all of a sudden CJ Stroud comes in and he's not lighting it up? I mean, Davis Mills was 16 of 30 last night for 153 yards. Let's not act like he went out there and won the ball game. He did what he was supposed to do, but there were still too many times the offense, because the offense is the offense, despite who the quarterback is, didn't get the job done on short fields. So TJ's your quarterback, and that's the end of story. Okay?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned absolutely. The phrase intellectual honesty there, because it feels like there's some lack of that when the Mills Mafia argues their point. Like, it feels like from that side, any struggles when CJ is the quarterback are CJ's fault. But any struggles when Davis Mills is a quarterback is just blamed on the offensive line or someone else. Like, let's look at the second half against the Broncos. They did absolutely nothing, scored 0 points, like barely got any first downs. I think either Will or Joe, you mentioned they had like 35 yards of offense in the second half last night. You score 16 points against the Titans and have to have a last 2-minute drive to get that win. Like, okay, yeah, C.J. Stroud and the offense struggled, although he was coming off his best game against San Francisco. But it's not like he got any better under Davis Mills. So it feels like it's a dishonest argument to make a pro-Davis Mills argument to be the starting quarterback. Like, it's not like Davis Mills came in and the offense got better.
Right.
And arguably, really, I think inarguably, got worse. But they just happened to survive because the defense has been great.
And even if it got better, it wasn't because Davis Mills was killing it. It was because the competition was lower. They ran the ball better. Davis made some throws. Sure, he's not completely inept. But this is what happens when you grade on such a curve. It's like when the kid comes off the bench, the 10th guy, and he scores a buck and the crowd goes nuts. You don't do that for your star. You don't do that when your guy that drops 25 a game scores a buck. You go absolutely crazy for him. We're grading this on such a curve, and your emotions are getting in the way of thinking that Davis Mills is better than C.J. Stroud. He's not. It's not even close.
Okay. Here's the other thing. There's not like a nice way for me to put this, I don't think. There is like a psychological problem with Houston sports fans and their obsession with people that are mid. The amount of people that have freaked out in the last 48 hours over Davis Mills, over Mauricio Dubon, are the same people who are freaking out when the Rockets cut Josh Christopher and these bums that were drafted in the middle of the first round by Rafael Stone. I don't understand it.
Same.
Like, we have these superstar players who walk away. Like, I know Deshaun Watson, pervert, but traded away. Like, you have Kyle Tucker, Bregman, all of them leave. But, like, Mills is playing, Dubon is gone, Josh Christopher's gone. Like, oh, my gosh, Usman Garuba. Like, how are you ever going to recover from Usman Garuba leaving the Houston Rockets? I do not understand the Houston sports fan obsession with protecting these mid-athletes that aren't just good players. Like Davis Mills is fine. I think even, like, the Pro Football Talk article that, you know, Mike Florio pumped out last night about Davis Mills opening the eyes to other people as a starter is insanity.
Bro, like, if you're Davis Mills, stay put. Stay where you are, man. That's where you're best. Small sample
like,
size.
Like, don't leave. Like, I don't understand it. It baffles me every time we see it. Now, one of those mid players who was good last night, Will, for the first time this season, Christian Kirk. Kudos to him. Needed him last night. 5 catches, 54 yards, a touchdown, 10.8 yards per reception on 6 targets. So he was one of the more efficient guys that, you know, Davis was throwing to. Of the two guys between Nico and Christian Kirk, they caught 8 of their 9 targets. So that's a very positive step in last night's, but still only for 99 yards and a touchdown in the game. But it was really nice to see Christian Kirk have an impact on last night's game in a major way. He was very good. I was impressed for the first time this season with Christian Kirk.
And again, this is one of those things where I looked at the box score afterwards, and I was expecting to see some monster numbers just because the atmosphere lent itself to that, the domination feel lent itself to that. And you look at it, I mean, the most catches by a player was Kirk, and the most yards was 55 yards from Nico Collins, and it was only on 3 catches. So, you know, he spread the ball around well. Christian Kirk did contribute. Was it him that dropped that ball on third down in the corner? I didn't have a great angle. It looked like a pretty good throw and a catchable ball.
It was Kirk.
I agree with you. It was a really good ball from Davis Mills, but I don't think he actually dropped it. It was like slightly over his, like, if it was Nico Collins and he was 5 inches taller, I think it's a touchdown.
I thought it was Kirk, though.
Yeah, it was Kirk. And I mean, look, and the targets on the other guy, I mean, Noel, 1 catch on 2 targets. Schultz, 1 catch on 4 targets. Probably his worst game of the season. Stover, welcome back with 2 drops. Jaden Higgins, 4 catches for 38 yards on 9 targets. Caught the touchdown. I think that's, what, his 4th straight game, I believe it is, with a touchdown. So Jaden Higgins is really coming on. And I think Woody Marks, like, we'll talk about him in this next segment here as we look through the rest of the offense, because Brian's got a little take that I want him to expand on with Woody Marks. So let's talk about that next year. Will Kunkel, Joe George here with you on Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Loaded and ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, Joe George, Will Kunkel here with you until 6 o'clock. We'll have a 30-minute edition of Rocket Power with myself and Sean Mapes from 6 to 6:30 coming up. And then we'll be back to Texas A&M basketball versus, I think I heard the promo say, the Manhattan Jaspers are their name tonight.
This,
so
man,
a thrilling matchup tonight with Anna. But we're talking Texans here. And before we get back into what we saw from Woody Marks in the run game, I know we got Willie out on the HRMP. Listener line wants to talk Davis Mills. Willie, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to the radio most of the day here. And now I hear one more guy say, Davis Mills was 16 for 30. I might pull my bald head hair out.
Why?
Look here. How many people drop balls and Higgins stepping out of bounds and stuff? I ain't heard nobody talking about that. And I'm not saying Davis Mills is better than CJ. Even though I don't like CJ personally. Oh. But he could learn some stuff from Davis Mills. He can learn how to get rid of the ball for one thing. He can learn that, to keep his eyes up on his receivers instead of the pass rush. The same sorry offensive line kept Davis clean. How come they can't keep CJ clean?
Willie, I don't think that's fair. That's not fair, Willie. We saw a different offensive line last night.
Yeah, it's the first time we've seen this offensive line as well. And it's a different team. The Bills are not good up front. And to your point about Jaden Higgins and his feet, I asked him about it in the locker room. I laughed because he failed at it twice and got it the third time. He laughed. He said, "Yeah, I got to be better with my footwork. I got to be able to get in on those plays." So there are people talking about it. You there,
Willie?
Yeah, I'm here.
Tell me how good I am. Tell me how awesome I am for talking about it with Jaden himself.
Well, if you would have said it before all the 16 and 30, the first pass, the Stover, the pass to Kirk mm-hmm. in the down by the end zone. It's more than just the quarterback. Just like you said about CJ. Yeah, when he missed wide open receivers, Davis missed them too. I'm not, like I said, I think, if people know that I call all the time and I never said I like CJ. So, but I thank y'all for taking my call.
Of course. Thanks for the call, Willie. I appreciate it. We mentioned Cade Stover's two drops and the Kirk drop on the last segment, but I get your point. There are a lot of people. I was a little stunned when I looked at the YouTube channel today and saw the headline of Mills or Stroud.
Who's responsible for that one?
Anyone up on the morning show? I don't know if that's what they were talking about, and it was misconstrued, but I didn't want to listen to it because I don't want to hear it.
I get that. There are definitely drops. Cade Stover had a bad game. But if we're going to talk about those drops, we have to talk about the play where the Bills defender fell down, Higgins is wide open, and Mills throws it out of bounds. So, or the multiple other times where there was corner routes going up the field, and Mills hit the defender on the back instead of leading it over. The pass to Schultz in the end zone should have been a touchdown. Mm-hmm. He hit the defender in the back. There's another play to Higgins, similar corner. I think it was a corner route, hit the defender in the back, left it way short. If we're going to talk about the drops, we also have to talk about the many throws Mills missed.
So the throws to the end zone to the tight ends were bad. I wonder about the Jaden Higgins when the DB fell off, and a Davis threw that ball deep, maybe thinking Jaden was going to go deep because he fell down, but Jaden just ran, being a rookie, what he was supposed to run, and the communication and kind of the
expectations. Maybe, but I thought the pass sailed out of bounds, so I might be kind of a moot point. Even if Jaden runs what Mills thinks he's running there, the pass was it was a terrible pass.
I thought it looked like a miscommunication. It looked like they were on different pages. I could be wrong, and I wasn't in the Mills presser last night. I was in the locker room, so.
It does also, I think, Davis, not to harp on him, but I feel like he also got away with one. I don't think that ball got across the line of scrimmage that I know Bills fans were upset about, that they thought was should have been intentional grounding. I know he was outside the pocket, but from the camera angle, at least.
Don't,
from
NFL, so, yeah. Don't you need
close.
Just one
it
of
was
them?
Definitely close.
No, I think you still have to get it across the line.
Yeah, you still have to get it across the line, I think.
It was
I
know close.
He threw it out of bounds, and it was real borderline, but I thought live he got there, and what are they going to do, review it?
It's not a reviewable play.
Exactly.
But, Davis Mills, to me, what he did last night, he showed he's worth every single penny you gave him. He showed why he's a valuable member of this roster, why you should work on bringing him back going forward and try to make sure he's comfortable being QB2 for the Houston Texans for the rest of C.J. Stroud's career. It's fine. Now, there's a question about can you invest – $70 million or, $68 million into your quarterback position potentially with C.J. Stroud and Davis Mills. Probably the answer to that's no, but it's as long as he can be here. He is a valuable member of this roster. Go ahead, Will.
No, sorry, I was going to say, look at what happens when you don't have a competent backup in the NFL, because quarterbacks get hurt across the league now at an alarming rate. Look at the Bengals, man. Jake Browning, They had to go out and make a trade for Joe Flacco. Like, there's a big drop-off there for Davis Mills to come in. Now, the schedule fell favorably for them. It wasn't that, like, if you're playing Davis Mills in the next two games, you know, who knows what he looks like. But he did his job. His job is to go out there and not lose the game. CJ's job is to go out there and try to win games.
So yeah, and you got to support different. You got to support your guy. I mean, like, I think it's actually like a great comp, like with where the Texans season's at versus where the Bengals season is at. Like, both Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud getting ready to return. The Texans defense is dominated in a way that has allowed you with a backup quarterback to win these football games. Whereas with the Bengals, they beat the Steelers 33-31 in their next two games. They lost to the Jets 39-38. They lost to the Bears 47-42. They had any level of a competent defense. They're still probably in the thick of this thing because Joe Flacco was balling for them, but the defense couldn't stop. It probably couldn't stop us if we were out there. I mean, maybe Jeremy slows us down a little bit if he's on our roster.
I don't know.
But
Jeremy's
like,
got great hands.
He does have good hands.
That's been well established.
That's true. He'll show you.
He's got a whole highlight reel, Will.
Yeah. It's very funny. I don't know if you've seen it yet, Will, but it's very funny.
That's not a joke,
but Woody Marks.
It exists.
It does. Woody Marks last night, 74 yards on the ground for the Houston Texans. I thought he was running the ball really well. But what impresses me the most about that is while kind of as we will transition into the negative stuff in the next segment, but there's two times last night where the Houston Texans offensive line and Nick Caley let Woody Marks down. And he got hit in the backfield. One was, a third down. One was a fourth down. He got stuffed in the backfield. But we saw just incredible momentum to find a way to get himself across the line of scrimmage. It doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but like those two plays last night from Woody Marks just found a way, like finding a way to get across the line of scrimmage when you're getting hit by linebackers in the backfield. I'm so impressed with those two plays and overall what we're seeing from Woody Marks, as now we officially know that Joe Mixon, I guess he disagrees, is out for the season. Yeah, Dameon Pierce has been waived. Woody Marks last night was great for the Houston Texans, Will.
Yeah, his ability to keep his legs moving, to fall forward. I mean, that's the sign, not the sign of a good running back, but the sign of a running back that you can run behind. A guy that runs behind his pads, runs downhill, that when he gets popped and his momentum is stopped, he can get it back and he can keep going. He falls forward. And he did that twice in huge situations where you're sitting there in the red zone like, oh, my God. Like, here we go. Oh, whoa, never mind. Okay. Okay, first down. All right, let's try it again. Now we have four plays to not get it, but all right. So shout out to Woody Marks, and shout out to Nick Caley, and who's ever in charge of saying who plays, because you're finally now really making Woody Marks RB1 as he should be.
Brian, I know you love you some Woody Marks. How
yeah,
you feeling about
like
Woody Marks?
To back up what you guys said, I mean, there were multiple times where in big crucial run, you know, situations, third and one, also along the goal line, where he got hit in the backfield and just ran a guy over. Something we haven't seen from a Texans running back this season and outside of Joe Mixon really over the last, like, maybe four seasons, going back to, I don't even know, Carlos Hyde. I can't even remember the last one before that. But what impressed me so much was not only that, but there were several times, and again, it's kind of like Joe said, it's things that don't show up on the stat sheet, where he was running a stretch, you know, a stretch zone out to the right or left, out wide, and noticed that they were completely bottled up. The offensive line on that side got just completely pushed back, and he showed a level of vision and an agility to make the cut back to the inside. I won't say the name because I'm not comparing him to him, but that I've only seen one other Texans running back ever make. We all know who that is. Like it was a very impressive night for Woody Marks. We know he can be a great receiver. He showed the vision and the agility to make the cutbacks on the stretch runs. He showed the ability to run defenders over. And oh, by the way, this is something they pointed out in one of the replays. I don't remember which specific play it was, but there was a play where a rusher came completely free, should have crushed Davis Mills, and Woody Marks like dove at the defender's feet, completely took him out, and allowed Mills to complete the pass. So I'm very bullish on Woody Marks. I think he has the capability down the line with a good offensive line to be a Pro Bowl caliber running back.
I got something.
Ooh.
For you. You ready for this?
Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Pro Bowl, baby.
Yeah, he forced five missed tackles last night and gained 45 yards after those missed tackles and totaled 84 yards after contact. All career highs.
That's Pro Bowl. That's Pro Bowl stuff.
Like, that's what you need.
And he only had 74 yards rushing in the game.
I know.
Which means, like, all of – like, he had so many – like, he's getting hit in the backfield, making plays. It's – Look, I don't know. I like the take. I don't know if the Texans will address the running back room in terms of finding someone that can jump in front of him. I think at bare minimum, you have found a number two running back that can be reliable for you for his entire rookie contract. At the absolute bare minimum.
They just have so many things they need to address on the offense. Mainly, we all know the offensive line. That look,
yeah.
If you have a running back that you know is capable, why invest heavily? Now, they will have to bring
you
in other people in the room. You will have to bring in other people in the room. Like, you're going to have to bring up somebody to spell them. But, like, I would not invest heavily to try to replace Woody Marks.
Hell
spend,
no.
spend that capital on offensive line.
I think Woody Marks is a perfect when they have, like, a 1A, 1B type of deal. When, like, the Panthers got Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle. Rico,
right.
like, really took over. But, like, that's a great 1A, 1B. Well, however it works out, I think Woody is that kind. I don't know that Woody's a – I don't know that he's a bell cow every single down for his career, but he's sure as hell a great running back to have in your room.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you define bell cow, but I would want to give him 15 carries every game.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. That's different than, I think, a Pro Bowl running back.
Well, I think, if he's efficient and he's scoring touchdowns, you can be Pro Bowl in 15
they
carries
They don't
a
rush
game.
For touchdowns. This is
all dependent upon actually improving
year.
The offensive line. But, I mean, you pointed out those stats, Will, with the yards after contact and the missed tackles. Imagine that skill level with an offensive line that doesn't make him have to do that every single time.
Get him in space.
Yeah.
Let him be able to be patient behind the line, bounce around, find the seam, get upfield. Like, for sure. No running back, though, is able to do that with this offensive line this season or last season.
No.
Joe Mixon bounced around and played more east to west than he probably ever has in his career, and he was damn good at it.
All right, let's get into let's expand on that and a little bit more of some of the negative stuff. Don't ignore in victory and what you wouldn't in defeat. Since it's a Friday, they played on Thursday night. We'll do that today. Let's get into that next year on Jeremy and Joe with me, Joe George and Will Kunkel on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.